Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-exalting gospel program. And I thank God today for extending His day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. And you know, friends, the love of God was expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. So we're going to open up the broadcast today with a lovely old gospel tune, and it's entitled, Jesus Paid It All. I, for one, sure thank God today that Jesus paid it all. Yes, at the end of those hours of suffering on Calvary's cross, I read in John chapter 19 and verse 30, where the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished." He completed the work that God had given Him to do. And today, my friend, I want you to know that I can rest where God rests in the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how about you, friend? What are you resting upon today? In whom are you resting upon today? Are you resting upon your good works or religious rituals to take you to God's heaven? If so, according to the Word of God, for which I make absolutely no apology, you're going to spend all eternity in hell. Friend, there's only salvation through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I read in 1 John 1 and 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So whether you're a so-called big sinner or a little sinner today, I want you to know there's enough value and virtue to the precious blood of Christ to cleanse you as white as snow. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son, Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee for His condescending grace. We thank Thee for His perfect walk while here upon the scenes of earth. But our God, we thank Thee most of all for Calvary. We thank Thee it was there that He died on the old rugged cross. He shed that precious blood without which there could be no remission for sin. And our God, the desire of our heart today is to preach the gospel of Thy grace. And we trust, our God, that there might be some listening in today who've never been saved or born again through faith in Christ. May it please Thee by Thy Holy Spirit, and through Thy Word, to bring conviction and conversion to their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, we'll listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, He Hideth My Soul. Those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today a verse of scripture as we find it in the book of Psalms. Psalms 19. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, I believe it goes without saying that the world in which we live today is one that is wrought with confusion, insecurity, and above all, uncertainty. Yes, every day is quite different from the day before because of the rapid change in the various fields of endeavor. So rapid are these changes that production of mechanical equipment is quite often obsolete before the consumer can purchase such goods. Even in the purchase of food and the other essentials of living, it is difficult to predict the prices of tomorrow. Truly, my friend, this is an age of growing uncertainty. It is an age which is beset on every hand with constant upheaval in every phase of our social, political, moral, economic, and religious life. And friends, if someone were to express with dogmatism any prediction for the future, we would no doubt be apt to say that that person were either a fool or a prophet. Well, friends, I don't profess to be either a fool or a prophet today, but with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you some facts of which we can be absolutely sure. And in doing so, I have as my only references the precious Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God which dwells within. Now, friend, the first fact of which I am sure is the fact that the Word of God is true. Romans 3 and 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, friends, I believe that all of us have, at one time or another, experienced deception on the part of our so-called best friends. Yes, even our best friends may lie to us, if the lie proves more convenient than the truth. But never can it be said of the Lord God in heaven. No, you can never honestly say that God ever lied. Not once down through the centuries can it be truly said that God has been untrue. Our text makes it quite sure that the Word of God is sure. It's true. There's no question about it. In Genesis chapter 7, God told Noah to build an ark and thus be saved from the flood which was about to cover the earth. Did it happen? It surely did. In Exodus 12, he told his people in Egypt to place the blood of the lamb over the lintel inside post of the door. And if they did, he promised that the angel of death would pass over their houses that night. Did it happen? It did. In Genesis chapter 19, he promised to destroy the cities of the plain, such as Sodom and Gomorrah, by fire and brimstone. And he did. Yes, friends, from the beginning of time on down to the present day, God has kept his promises. And even the most rabid modernist or skeptic should admit that the Word of God is true. It's sure. Friend, the Bible is the only book which has withstood the fiery darts of the devil. It is a book which has been burned and banned, but which continues to live on in the hearts of those who love God. It is a book, the love of which has caused the death of many a martyr. It is a book which gives comfort to the weary and sight to those who are spiritually blind. And friend, it is a book without which we would be unable to know the mind and will of God. Yes, friend, the Word of God is sure. It is being tested every day all over the world, and the proof of its validity is the number of souls who are born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. Friend, if your hope for eternity is not based upon the sure Word of God, then let me say at the outset, and in love for your soul, you're on your way to a lost eternity. And listen, sinner friend, this same Word of God which I now hold in my hand will rise up to judge you at the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ tells us in John 12 and verse 48, "The words that I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day." Now there may be some listening in today who are so overwhelmed with their own intellect that they believe it is fashionable to belittle the Word of God. These people are usually strong advocates of evolution, although they can't explain why men no longer spring from monkeys. And these people are usually those who, though gifted by God with a brilliant mind, spend much time trying to prove that there is no God. And then we find those who can be classified as religious cynics. They spend most of their time trying to disprove and discredit the Word of God. They come out with questions like these. Where did Cain get his wife? How could a burning bush not be consumed by fire? How could Lot's wife be turned into a pillar of salt? And what about the heathen? Can he be held accountable to God? Well, friends, we won't take time today to attempt an answer to these questions because we're more interested in preaching Christ and Him crucified. However, let me say that we don't pretend to know all the answers because we have a mere finite mind and one which is overwhelmed by the bursting point. Yes, actually our minds are overwhelmed to the bursting point when we try to even comprehend the love of God. All we can say is that by faith we believe the Word of God. His Word has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friend, I for one am basing my entire hope for eternal life in heaven on the Word of God, which is sure. I don't question one word in God's book. I believe He means what He says, and He says what He means. But again, let me say that I don't profess to understand it all. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And friend, that's good enough for me. And it should be good enough for you too. And furthermore, let me add that just because you don't believe the Word of God, it doesn't in any way detract from its divine authenticity. Friend, the Word of God is sure, and to take more time today to prove that it is sure would be giving dignity to the doubt. Now, friend, God doesn't force the sinner to believe His Word, but He wants you to, and it's impossible to be in God's heaven without first believing His Word. Because after all, it's His Word through His Holy Spirit that brings conviction to the sinner. In Hebrews 4:12, we read these words, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In Psalm 93 and verse 5, the psalmist says, "Thy testimonies are very sure, O Lord." So friends, the first fact of which I am sure today is that the Bible is the Word of God. And the longer I'm saved, the more I'm convinced that the fact that the Bible is divinely inspired. Now then, the second fact of which we can be sure today is that your sins will find you out. In the book of Numbers 32 and verse 23, here's what we read. "Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." And friends, that fact has been proven over and over again since the creation of man. You recall how Adam and Eve sinned against God by partaking of the forbidden fruit, and how they sought to hide from God amongst the trees of the garden. But God found them out in all their sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. Again, I think of that man Cain who sought to please God by offering up the efforts of his own hands. But the sin of disobedience caught up with him. And so we read the fact that you're going to be sure that your sins will find you out. And if we were to turn over to Genesis chapter 44 and verse 16, we would read the words of Judah as he confesses to Joseph, his brother. "What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." Listen, sinner friend. Be sure your sin will find you out. It'll either find you out in time, or it'll find you out in eternity. I wonder how many I'm speaking to today, and you have sins in your life that you've hidden from the scrutiny of your fellow man. And oh, how ashamed you would be if those sins were revealed. Well, friend, man may not know anything about those sins, but God does. He knows them all. So be sure your sins will find you out. There's a verse we read in Galatians 6 and 7 which should prick the heart of every sinner listening in today. It goes like this. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So friends, again, the Word of God says, "Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out." Now, if you still need further proof of that statement by God, then all you have to do is to look at the countless thousands who are patients in hospitals and asylums today. Look at the people that are locked up behind bars because their sins were found out. And finally, take a look at yonder cemetery and see the results of sin. If you want to look into the future, read Revelation chapter 20 and see the ultimate results of sin as Christ's rejecters are cast into the lake of fire. Yes, my friend, this book will be opened one of these days, and you can be sure your sins will find you out if you die in your sin. Now, friend, this leads us to the third fact of which we can be sure today, and that is death. Oh, you might escape paying taxes like many people do today, but there's one thing you're not going to escape, and that is death. Now, in this regard, and at the outset, let me say that the only people who are not sure of dying are those truly born-again Christians who are alive when the Lord comes again. But everyone else, since time began, has been sure of dying. Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yes, that dreaded monster called death is tracking each and every one of us every day. And every day that monster catches up with over 130,000 people. And even now, in thousands of homes, hospitals, and in mortuaries all over the United States, relatives and friends are broken down with grief at the death of a loved one. Friend, God tells us in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14 that we must needs die, and are as water spilled upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. No, whether you're red or yellow, black or white, whether you're old or young, whether you're Catholic, Protestant or Jew, whether you're Irish, Scotch or Pole, it doesn't make any difference. There's no respect of persons with God. You're going to die. And you can be sure of that fact You're going to die. Listen, unsaved listener, you may not realize it, but you're only a heartbeat from death, eternity, and hell. Yes, it's only the grace of God that keeps that heart of yours pumping blood. But friend, you can be sure of this fact today. You're going to die. Yes, you're going to die. Now, I'm also aware of the fact that many of you listening in don't particularly care to hear messages like this, and you don't like to think about dying and hell and judgment. But friend, it's the Word of God, and we're exhorted in the Scriptures to preach the Word. And that's why I'm here today. I'm here to preach the gospel of the grace of God. I'm here to tell you the good news that even though you're going to die, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior before you die, you'll spend all eternity in heaven. Yes, you'll be with God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps there's someone listening in today and you've never heard the gospel before, and you're wondering why it's necessary for people to die. Why can't they live on and on? Well, sinner friend, it all began away back in the Garden of Eden. God had created man from the dust of the ground, and He had breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Shortly afterwards, God decided that Adam needed a helpmate, so He formed Eve from one of Adam's ribs while he was sleeping. Now there they were, the first two people on earth, and they were living in a beautiful garden in close communion and fellowship with their Creator God. And friend, the only requirement for their continued fellowship with God was that they were not to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that doesn't seem like much of a restriction now, does it? They could still eat of the many other trees, but of this one tree, God said in Genesis 2 and 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Well, shortly after this, along came the devil, and he tells Eve that if she partook of the forbidden fruit, that she would become very wise. And he even went so far as to say, "Thou shalt not surely die." So Eve listens to the devil, she takes the fruit, in disobedience to the word of God, and gave it to Adam, her husband, who also ate of it. Now then, let's just jump over to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and in verse 12, here's what God says. "Wherefore, as by one man," meaning Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Again in Romans 6 and 23, God says that the wages of sin is death. Ah, listen, sinner friend, you may be in the prime of life today, and yet before tomorrow's sunrise, your body could be cold in death, but your soul would be in torment in the fires of hell. Yes, you may mock the sure word of God today, and you may trample underfoot the grace of God and the blood of Christ, but remember, friend, you're going to die. Because death is sure. And furthermore, death isn't the end of it all either. Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yes, my friend, if you're not prepared to meet God through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, then the second death awaits you at the great white throne judgment. Then, my friend, as far as your soul is concerned, it will mean the lake of fire for all eternity. Now you might say, "Well, I don't believe in hell." Friend, that doesn't detract from the truth of God. There's one thing sure. If you die without being saved or born again, you'll believe in hell 5 seconds after you die. Yes, you'll be in hell. I recall when I was quite young how I was impressed by the definition of eternity as expressed by the late servant of God, Robert McCracken. He was an evangelist from Cleveland. Here's how he defined eternity. He said to imagine a stainless steel ball the size of the earth. Then imagine that every 1,000 years a bird from another planet would fly to this steel ball called earth, rest there for 1 second, then fly back to await for another 1,000 years. Now when the landing of the bird would wear out the steel ball, eternity will have just begun. Friend, God says that if you reject His Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior, you'll spend all eternity in the lake of fire. And that's the sure word of Almighty God, for which I make absolutely no apology. Now, friends, in the few moments remaining, let's take a look at the fourth fact of which we can be sure today. It is a principle and pattern which weaves its way through the entire sure Word of God. And it is the basic precept upon which this entire broadcast is predicated. This fact is found in Hebrews 9 and verse 22. For there the sure Word of God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Did you hear that, friend? God Himself declares that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Sinner friend, if you don't remember anything else I've said today, remember this. There's absolutely no salvation for your soul apart from faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now this might come as a shock to those of you who are depending upon your so-called good works or religious ritual to take you to heaven. But nevertheless, it's the sure word of Almighty God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And as far as your so-called good works are concerned, God says in Isaiah 64 and 6, all your righteousnesses, or good works, are as filthy rags. Yes, that's what God thinks about your self-righteousnesses and religious rituals. Nothing but filthy rags. And in Ephesians chapter 2, God tells us too that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see, my friend, it's impossible to work your way to heaven. The work has all been completed by Jesus Christ at the place called Calvary. And now, my friend, all you have to do is to believe it with all your heart. Yes, you've got to take God's word for what it is. It's the truth of God. And my friend, you've got to believe you're the sinner. You've got to believe there's nothing you can do to save your own soul. And you've got to believe that nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed His precious blood on Calvary's cross for your sin. He was the holy, spotless Lamb of God, taking away your sin, and He bare your sin in His own body on the tree. You've got to believe that, my friend, with all your heart. Not only intellectually, but you've got to take it to yourself. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for you and in love for your soul, to trust Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved for time and you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow in Thy presence again today to thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the sure Word of God that tells us that He died on the cross for our sins. May there be some listening in today, even now, trusting Him as their Savior and Lord. May it be so for His name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.